Turn to Luke chapter 1 again, if you would. And we've had a handful of messages regarding our Lord Jesus being the light of the world. And again, this morning, we want to give another consideration to this thought. So many ways that our Lord is the light of the world, the only light of the world. And here in Luke chapter 1, Brother Zacharias is rejoicing. His tongue's been loosed. He's prophesying about the Lord and about the Lord's use of His Son to be a forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. We break into this in verse number 76 of Luke chapter 1, again where our brother says, "And thou, child," speaking of John, "shall be called the prophet of the highest," that's speaking of Jesus, "for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto His people by the remission, the payment of their sins, through the tender mercy of our God, and by that mercy, by our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us." And again, that word day spring is speaking about that which comes from the east, the dawning, the rising light, the light that is our Lord. "The day spring from on high, from glory, from heaven hath visited us." Why? "To give light to them that sit in darkness." And that's talking about me and you, naturally. We who are saved, that's where we were. We were sitting in darkness indeed. And sitting in the shadow of death, we needed that light, and they need that light, "to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And that is peace with our Lord. Jesus is the light of the world. And we want to take a look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, for a verse to get kicked off on. This is a wonderful verse, one of my favorite verses, and it speaks to us here about this very subject this morning. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16, "And without controversy," there's no arguing it, okay? There's no stretch or strain in this being the truth. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." And indeed it is. The clarity for this is God was manifest in the flesh. How in the world could that be? But praise be to God, He is. He was and is. "God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit," being God, being a man, the Spirit of God, He filled this man, the God-man, completely, totally. He is God. "Seen of angels," and boy, have their eyes not gotten big and wondered at the things that Jesus did and how He suffered and how He brought our redemption. "Preached unto the Gentiles," yes, to you and me, the non-Jews, "believed on in the world." It's a mystery how it could be possible that our Lord Jesus could be believed on in the world. And the reason that is such a great thing and that it is mentioned here is the mystery of godliness and the greatness of the Lord, the mystery of the Lord working amongst us, is that a real understanding about the condition of mankind reveals that we cannot believe in our Lord. But you know what? The Lord made it to where we could. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. "Preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and then received up into glory, from which we look for Him to return." Jesus is the light of the world that illuminates the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. Jesus is the light that illuminates the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls believed on in the world. It's the only way that it's possible that the Lord could be believed on by men, women, boys, and girls, is by this illuminating light of our Lord. We come to the Lord on the Sermon on the Mount here in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to take a look, and we're not going to take, this message is not going to be a message dealing with the intricate details of the working of the Lord in the hearts of people, but some things that the Lord has said regarding how it is, or the overarching view of and position of what the Lord does in this illuminating work. And several passages are referred to, are mentioned in regards to this, and so we want to bring them to light in this message. In Matthew chapter 6, we pick it up in verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. So a directive, don't lay up treasure here. You know what happens to treasure here. It goes back to the ground. But in regards to this spiritual, in regards to that eternal, he says, but lay up, verse 20, for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. There doesn't need to be any security system where that treasure is laid up. There doesn't need to be any WD-40 and polishing compound and microfiber rags towels to keep it all polished up and cleaned up where that treasure is to be laid up, okay? And so that's a point that he makes there. Listen, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thine eye be single, the singleness of the eye, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thine whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and the world. One has to be chosen. So he speaks here about the eye, and that it's the light of the body. Let's just begin with this. Do you think that if you take a bright light and shine it in my eyeball, that the inner parts of my body will be illuminated? Well, and we know sure well that it's packed full of whatever God's put in there to make this whole thing work. So he's not talking about getting some new LED lighting, which is popular in our day, and getting the right kind and shine it in your eye. He speaks about the eye being single. Is there something that I can physically look at that will cause my eye to be single? Something, some person on this earth, some object, some scene that I can fasten my physical eye upon and it would be in this good place of being single? We know obviously the Lord's not talking about the physical. You and I can look at things good, or we can look at things wicked. That is true, but that's not the greatest context of this, I believe. He says here that it's necessary for the eye to be single. He says, if therefore thy eye be single, if you get that correct, thy whole body shall be full of light. What is this that we're called to direct our eyes toward, this single thing or person or scenery that will fill us with light? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Our eye needs to be fastened, and it's not a physical eye, but it's a spiritual thing that's being talked about. That's the way it is with the child of God that's saved. Their eye has been fastened upon the only one that can help them, the only one that has saved them, the only one that has brought redemption towards them, the only one that has, what is it our brethren said, that has the words of life. You know, if one's eye is fastened, their whole life, their whole thinking, their whole being is fastened upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They hear the word of the Lord and that they're sinners, and they hear the word of the Lord that He's the Savior that they need, and they repent, they trust in Him, the Lord saves their soul. And then now for living and for life, our eye is fastened upon Him. We'll be full of light. Because we will have laid down what we think and what we've learned from our fathers, what we've learned from this earth, and we will look to pick up that which our Lord has given. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world that shines forth the Word of God. He is the Word. He says, if therefore thy eye be single upon him, thy whole body shall be full of light. We will desire to do that which is pleasing unto our Lord. We'll look to stay away from sin now that we know what sin is, because light shines and sin's shown, isn't it? Light shines in our own lives and it shows our sin. And if we're obedient to the Lord, we'll take that and we'll put that away. We'll turn from it, turn to our Lord. Say, Lord, what do I put in the place of this that I used to pursue? By the directive and the word, the instruction of the Lord. He says here, but if thine eye be evil, where is the evil eye? The evil eye, where is the evil eye? Listen, the evil eye is anywhere but on the Lord. The evil eye is on anything but our Lord. Because what else matters? What else really matters more than our Lord Jesus Christ? Nothing. You got, if your eye's not single, and that's interesting how he puts it there, single or evil. Singly upon the Lord and Him and what He's done, what He's promised, what He's doing, His power, His word, or the other way. It's just like the narrow way and the broad way. Same kind of thing. And He is the only way that we can be filled with light. It very much dovetails with John chapter 3, the Lord speaking to Nicodemus there about how it is with those that love the light, those that have received the Savior, those that have looked to the one that's been hung upon the tree. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Those that are singly, their eyes are singly upon the Lord Jesus Christ. They love the light. They've been rescued by the light. But he says, but if thine eye be evil here in verse 23, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. There's no redeeming quality, point, or ability within the body, within the man, within the person. The whole thing is rotten without the Lord Jesus Christ. He says here, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore that light that is in thee be darkness, if that's what you have in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What's he say? How great is that darkness? He exclaims that. Because it is death and ruin indeed. In Luke chapter 11, parallel passage, our Lord speaking about the same. The wording's a little bit different. We want to come over here and catch what's mentioned here. In verse number 33, in Luke chapter 11, verse number 33, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place. We would find it strange for somebody for me to light a candle, it being dark in here, and I light the candle, and then I open this up and put it underneath here and close the door. I said, Brother Jim, he's lost it even more than normal. You just don't do that kind of thing, do you? Take it and light a candle. If we'd light a candle, the electric would be out, and light a candle here, then get some kind of basket and put over top of it. It's just not what you do, is it? No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, but neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And I think that's a reference to the Lord's church. I think that there's an application there. The Lord's churches are regarded and referred to as candlesticks, that they which come in may see the light. They put it up high. Light does better the higher that it is, the source. It's the reason we generally have our lights on the ceiling and not on the floor. The light of the body is the eye, verse 34. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thine eye is evil, thy body is full of darkness. He says here, take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. Sinner, be warned. Be warned, with darkness in you, you will perish indeed. You'll perish in your sins. You'll die in your sins. Without the light of the Lord within, without salvation from the Lord, you will utterly perish. He says, take heed to that. What kind of light do you have in you? We all need to ask ourselves that question. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark. Do you hear that? How is it that the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, given to the sinner that's saved, makes their own righteousness stand before God? Are you 90% righteous before the Lord, having the righteousness of Christ? No, we're 100% righteous before the Lord. Thereby we can be justified by our Lord, made just as if we've never sinned before the Lord. He says here, take heed therefore to that light which is in thee, be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. We've talked about the radiance and that Jesus is the light of the world that shines forth the glory of God, and how it is with the angels seemingly that they reflect that glory. How Brother Moses reflected that glory, and how you and I, we look forward to being at that day where we have a body like Christ and we reflect His glory. That's what the children of God do now. They shine forth the glory of their Lord where He has saved them, put the Spirit of God within, and shine forth that life that the Lord has given unto them. The light that is in us. Jesus is the light of the world that illuminates the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. You know what? You and I need not what we say, but what our Lord Jesus Christ says in every way, in every way. And for the one that is here that's not saved, we point that and we dwell on that point for a moment, that you need to repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord said many things to we who are saved. He has told us to live for Him and to shine for Him. But there is that shining of the Lord, that working of the Lord in this way, and these scriptures that we want to touch upon. Brother Paul, the Apostle Paul, on the way to Damascus, he experienced something, didn't he? And let's take a look at that in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. And I don't want there to be any confusion regarding this. This shining of this light is nothing that you see with your eye, with your physical eye. You and I see the shining of light in this world so we can live and so we can go, but none of this is talking about the physical. Now, you know the account of the Apostle Paul, that, or Saul, as he was called in that day, was a physical thing, but that's not the point as we go through these passages and take a look at this. The point is that which is spiritual, because that's what Jesus is talking about there, where we looked in Matthew and in Luke, and this illuminating of the heart of men, women, boys, and girls. The apostle, or Saul of Tarsus, we find here in Acts chapter 9, Verse number 1, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus and Syria up to the northeast to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way of following Jesus, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. That's what happened to Paul. That will never happen to you and me. So understand that. My family has known a lady years ago, decades ago, and that was the testimony that she had of salvation. She was out in the field and saw a bright light. People aren't saved by bright lights. Now, the Apostle Paul saw the brightness of the glory of the Lord indeed. And you and I, by faith, have done so. But with these eyes, no, that's not the subject this morning, not these eyes. There is yet wrapped up in this something that did happen to our brother, and let's listen to what it is. There shined around about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You know what? You may have not have been a persecutor of one of the Lord's churches or the Lord's churches and people, but I tell you what, you heard the Lord. If you're here and saved, you heard the Lord speak your name and work in your heart to show you, why are you sinning against me? You're guilty. You're condemned. You're doomed. Didn't you? Sure did. You know why you and I saw that? Because the Lord started shining the light. He started shining His light upon us to show us how rotten we are. He started shining the light to show us His judgment that's certain and coming. He started shining the light, and within the sinner, He shines that light and shows them by His word, by His power, by the miracle and power of the Lord, starts showing them that they need help. How is it that a sinner goes from not caring one lick about their soul to where that becomes the most important thing that they've got on their plate and in their life? Oh, they've got a job, but that just doesn't matter right now. They got a family, they got a wife, they got children, they love them, but that just doesn't matter right now. This has got to be dealt with. I need help with this. It's the shining of the light of the Lord. You and I have not seen, and nor will ever see, a great shining light this way until our Lord comes for us in the clouds. We'll see that light indeed when He comes for us. But you know what? We did hear what our brother heard as the Lord was dealing him. Saul, Jim, you need me. You're a sinner, Jim. You've sinned against me. You need help, Jim, that you can't find any other place. And I'm not saying that you and I heard these words audibly. That's not the case. But I tell you what, they were real. It was real what the Spirit of God spoke to and speaks to the sinner. You know how that happens? By the Lord shining His light. I'm convinced that God has made mankind that when Jesus shines the light of the truth, we are equipped and built to hear it and see it. We're blind naturally. We're blind. We can't see. We're in darkness. But when the Lord shines the light, when the Lord shows up and starts dealing out the facts and dealing out the truth and shining the light to the truth of this whole mess that we're in, you know what? Dogs don't hear, and cats don't hear, and lions don't hear, or raccoons, or deer, or cows. But I tell you what, people do. That's the reason that you and I, as the children of the Lord and the Lord's church, that we pray that the Lord would move in the hearts of sinners. Because He's able to shine the light. We know that. He shined it in us, did He not? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That was Saul's issue at that time. He said, who art thou, Lord? You know what? It's hard for us to believe that folks in the world would have come from a standpoint that they wouldn't even know anything about Jehovah God, that they would have to be first taught about Jehovah God. But there are. And the Lord sends missionaries and his people to teach them about that. And then teaches them about Jehovah God, teaches them that he's the creator, teaches them that they're accountable. You and I in this country, we kind of show up at least knowing that, or having it said around us much, that God exists. Who art thou, Lord? The Lord starts showing us who he is, doesn't he? Where he's at and where we are. And our great need of him. And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks, the points and the stings, I believe, are the witness of his people that he's killing and persecuting and putting in jail. They stand faithful. They are not vehement. They are not taking up arms to fight. They keep holding to this Jesus of Nazareth, who they testify and believe was died, was buried, and rose again the third day for their salvation. And you know what? Saul doesn't have what they have. He doesn't have what Stephen had. And the Lord's taken that with his light. Prick, 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 pricking him. You know what? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ has done to us, isn't it? He pricked our hearts. He shined the light. Praise be to God, there's no resisting him when he shows up at the address. He is the strong man, isn't he, brother? He is the strong man. And you know what? He's a strong man. He's not a brute. And he's not an abuser, but he's a savior and redeemer. He shines the light. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Surrender. Repentance. And in our brother's particular case, the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. In obedience. The apostle tells more about this in Acts 22. Let's just touch on it quickly. In Acts chapter 22, as he's here before tells about his salvation, the Lord saving him before the Jews here. Verse number 5, it says, and also the high priest doth bear me witness in all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren and went to Damascus. They know so. They sent him to bring them which were bound there bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, go into Damascus, and it shall be told thee all things which are appointed for thee to do. And then I could not see for the glory of the light, being led by the hand of them that were with me. I came to Damascus, and one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. In the same hour I looked upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest a threefold ministry, to know his will, to see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. He gives a little greater description from what we read in the previous verse. And he talks about seeing that physical light. But the thing is, the physical light is not what we're interested in. We're interested in what happens to all by the salvation of the Lord, that all come to know and understand the truth. the Lord shines the light of the truth in their hearts. He did so in this man who was a hard man, difficult, an abuser of the Lord's church, an abuser of the Lord's people. He saw the light. The physical light blinded him. But you know what? The physical light alone would not save him. The spiritual light that shone within him from the Lord is what convinced him and quickened him and convicted him of his sin and his disobedience and who this is that he's really fighting against. He's been looking at the churches and the people in the churches. The Lord Jesus says, "You've been abusing me, boy. You've been abusing me, son. By doing this and abusing mine own, you have been doing that to me." In Acts chapter 26, we see here before Agrippa, in verse number 12, he tells about it again, and the same timing, midday. Verse number 14, "We were all fallen to the earth. I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew tongue." See, this is the shining that makes the difference. The speaking to the sinner by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, is the Lord, are you here and not saved, but are you hearing from the Lord? Is the Lord dealing with your heart? Is the Lord showing you anything? Has the Lord shown you anything? Listen, if you've been shown anything about the truth of your condition, your sin, and the Lord Jesus as Savior and all that, you know, it's not been Satan that's done that. It's not been your flesh that's done that. That's the blessing of the Lord. The Lord tells him here in verse number 14 that it's hard for him to kick against the pricks. He wants to know who he is. He says, "I'm Jesus." You know, there's immediate surrender on Saul's part. But in a sense, don't you think that there's an element that he sure was surprised? "I'm Jesus of Nazareth." Him? He's the one that I've been fighting against. His way is the one that I've been fighting against. It's amazing how the light shining of the Lord will change a man, isn't it? But that's what it takes, and that's what the Lord does. He tells him about the ministry he's called him to be a witness of him. "You're not going to be an abuser of my way, but you're going to be a minister of and witness of me." Verse number 16. "I'm going to deliver you from the people and from the Gentiles, and I'm going to send you to them." Verse number 17. Listen to this. Verse number 18. "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light." You hear that? Not the shining light that he saw on the road, but the light of the Lord and his truth and his word shining within the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls. "And from the power of Satan unto God." You know, there's some clarity about what's over there in the darkness. The power of Satan is what's over there in the darkness. Now, I'm in agreement with what the brother brought out in the scriptures. Satan's not bound. Satan is limited and restrained to whatever boundary the Lord's put on him, but he's not bound. He will be one day, though. He'll be destroyed one day. "For the power of Satan unto God, that they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified, set apart by faith that is in me." That's what the light tells. See, the light doesn't shine about be baptized to be saved. The light doesn't shine about bring some good works to show how good you are and justify yourself before God. The light doesn't shine that. The light shines the terribleness of sin and the wonderful greatness, mercifulness, graciousness, and love of the Savior that gave himself for sinners. It tells about that the Lord didn't come to call the righteous, but he came to call sinners to repentance. That's what shines in the light of our Lord Jesus. In conclusion, a few passages. In Hebrews chapter 10, as the brother there deals with the saints, that's who this passage is written to, and about willful sin against the Lord and all the trouble and the condemnation from our Lord, judgment-wise, that'll bring upon us. Not destruction, but chastisement from the Lord. He goes through several things that we'll not touch upon this morning. But he admonishes the saints in verse number 32 of Hebrews 10. The call to remembrance the former days, in which after ye were illuminated. You know, in 1987, my life changed. I chased after the Lord in a way that suited me and what I thought was the right way that would make me accepted and fit and not stand out from what I saw and thought was important religion-wise. But I tell you what, when the Lord started visiting this old sinner, things changed. He shined the light on the truth. The truth about me. When that got light lit up, it was sorry. And faith misplaced. No faith at all. I pursued a faith in what I could do. He showed me the Savior. The one that I needed and the only one that could make a difference. He admonishes these saints and you and me. He says, call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated. In their case, ye endured a great flight of afflictions. You know, our brethren in the Scriptures that the Lord tells us about, the apostles and brethren being sent to and preached to, and the Lord saving them. Without fail, the majority of them endured great affliction. The Jews that were saved, they had their countrymen and their families turn their back on them. The Gentiles that are just ate up. You remember how it was in Ephesus? Paul's preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ was directly against little shrines that those silversmiths made to Diana, who was the goddess of that city. And those saints at Ephesus had to stand for the Lord, which puts them at odds against that heathen worship and practice that they had practiced. They had affliction. But you know what? At the time near the illumination, when the Lord shines the light and sinners are illuminated indeed, there's a zeal to serve and worship the Lord and follow Him and to learn and just soak it up. In Colossians chapter 1, we read here in chapter number 1, a couple of verses. In Colossians chapter 1, verse number 13, the apostle writing to the church of Colossae and these saints that are there to us, who hath delivered us, speaking of the Lord, from the power of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. He's delivered us from the power of darkness by shining within us His marvelous, marvelous light. He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And it's by His light that we see that's necessary and that's desired and appropriate. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, listen to these words. But ye are a chosen generation, speaking of the Lord's people and His churches, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. 1 Peter 2, 9. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood unto the Lord, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The light of the Lord shining. The making of the eye single upon the Lord. Tell you what, if we're looking at the Lord and His glory and His radiance and His shining, I tell you what, we can't help but be blessed to be filled with the light of our Lord, even as the children of God as we go forward. If we're looking to Him and looking to please Him, we rest in Him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we read this, which is a passage. You'll say, well, Brother Jim, why didn't you just cut to it and get to it and just wrap it up with this passage? Because this passage does so. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You could camp out there and preach a whole message right there in that verse. Do you hear that? God, the Father, if you will, commanded the light to shine out of the darkness and has shined that light in our hearts. We who are saved. To give light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And where's that found? In Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light of the world that shines forth the glory of the Lord, isn't it? God is represented and manifested in the shining forth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw about that. And I love this, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. When you think about looking to your Lord, and I know we don't physically, and we look at our Lord, we look to our Lord through His Word, indeed, because we've not seen Him physically. We desire to see Him physically. But when you have desire and thinking about your Lord, you think about your Lord physically and what we will look to see Him one day, and as we consider a form of His person, which we do not know how He looks, what is it about Him that you look at? Is it not His face? Is it not our Lord's face that is a place for our eye to be single upon, beholding His glory, beholding His light, beholding His Word and His truth, His radiance? Jesus is the light of the world that illuminates the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls.